Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
Let's open with prayer. Dear God, I just want to welcome you into this place today, Father. Thank you for your worship, God, that we can praise you and put you in the place that you deserve to be, Father. And today, as we learn about you, your grace, and your forgiveness, and the gift that you've given us, God, just remind us of how great you are. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right, today I'm going to be talking about Easter. Easter is coming up at the end of this month. And instead of just talking about it once, we want to talk about it over the next couple weeks. Jesus and his resurrection, it's what defines Christianity. It's the who, it's the what, it's the where, it's the why of our calling. The Bible is a book filled with the words of God. These are life-giving words, words of hope. There's inspiring testimonies in the Bible. There's stories of people in the Bible. And then we get to the New Testament. And here God comes in human form to the earth. You know, he breaks through that wall. Before, God was kind of looking down at us. He created us. He gets involved a little bit. But in the New Testament, he actually comes to earth. God had a purpose in sending his son to earth. God sent Jesus to die in our place so that we could be reunited with him, so that relationship could be restored. And we look at John chapter 3, verse 16. You can't really speak about Easter without talking about this verse. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." So basically, God sends his son so that we don't have to die. Jesus died so we could live. Jesus dies to conquer death and also to give us freedom while we're still here on earth. And that's a big one. That's going to be our focus over the next couple weeks. The grace of God showed on the cross. The gift of life that was given to us. The gift that he gave to us. Not because we deserve it. And not even because God took pity on us and he felt sorry for us. He said, "Oh, look at these guys living in all their sin. You know, I feel so bad for them." No. God sent his son because he loved us. God loved us so much. And now we have a hope. And not just any hope, but we have a living hope because Jesus rose again. We sometimes make the mistake of somehow thinking that we need to earn salvation on our own. That maybe if we try really hard and work at it, we can get closer to God. Maybe if we wear certain clothes, say certain things, act a certain way, that's going to bring us closer to God. But the thing is the harder we try to do that, and the more we work and our more efforts, we're just left disappointed, feeling empty. There's nothing you can do to earn salvation. And we're born into this broken world, and we're given these broken lives. We're all kind of given this crummy deal when we're born into this sinful world, right? And it's not up to us to fix that. We can't fix our own broken lives. And even God doesn't want to fix your broken life. He didn't come to put the pieces back together. He sent Jesus so we could have an entirely new life. Not a refurbished life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." So when we're in Christ, it's a new creation. I think we have trouble comprehending that sometimes. Jesus didn't come back to earth, live this great life, die, and rise again 3 days later just so we could keep on living the same lives. Or we could accept him and keep on living the same lives. A life lived for Jesus must look radically different than the life you lived before you chose to follow him. Do I sometimes struggle? Yeah. Do I sometimes question God? Do I sometimes have fear and doubt? Yes. Now, does that mean I'm not a Christian? No. That means I'm human. And everybody here is human. And I think we need to give ourselves a little more of the grace that God has already offered and that Jesus died for us. So that gives us this question, what does it mean to be a new creation? What is a new creation? I remember with each of my five children, the day they were born, you know, those treasured memories, that new life. But the birth of my fourth child, it kind of stands out a little bit. Now, let's tell you a story. So I was sleeping, middle of the night, I was having this great sleep. I don't know why, but I even remember today, it was such a good sleep. And Lisa rolls over and she hits me and she says, Burton, I think my water just broke. And I'm so tired. And I was like, and she said she thought. So I was like, you know what, Lisa, maybe you just peed yourself. And she said, no, Burton, we have to go to the hospital now. Now, she had three kids before and her water never broke like this, so that's why she said maybe. So at this point, we've got three other kids at home. They're sleeping. So we have to go to the hospital. So she texts the neighbor while I'm getting dressed. Neighbor comes over right away. It's a miracle. So this all takes about 5 minutes. Then we hop in the truck, 3 a.m., driving to the hospital. And Lisa's like, I don't think I'm going to make it. I'm like, oh, man. So my response was, drive faster. So I'm stepping on the gas, going as fast as I can to get to this hospital. You know, I didn't really think that I was going to be any help. I'd witnessed Lisa give birth three times before. You think that might make me qualified, but I had no confidence. We needed a doctor. And on the way, she phones 911 because she's like, not going to make it. And I hear her and the woman on the other line talking. And she's like, the baby's coming. And I hear the woman instruct her, just try to hold the baby in. Try and hold the baby in. This is what the lady at 911 said. It's like, tax dollars at work right there, right? I don't know how, like, I've never had a baby, but I'm sure you can't just hold it in. So I made the 25-minute drive from Colehurst to the hospital in Lethbridge in about 10 minutes. I pull right up the ramp into the ambulance bay. Like, I just, like, almost run through the garage door. It opens up. It's, like, censored or something. Hop out of my truck. I run into the emergency room. Go to the triage nurse. I'm like, my wife's having a baby. And she's like, how far along is she? I'm like, the baby's coming. So I run out of the hospital, like, run back out into the ambulance bay, dive across my truck, open the passenger door, and, like, I catch my baby. Like, literally. I was like, what is going on? You know, later, they would record me as delivering my own child. But I don't get that. You know, Lisa delivered her. I received her. Kind of like a wide receiver. Go long. But I held her for a brief moment. And then the nurse took her away. And the doctors made sure that I wasn't in shock. But in that brief moment, I held a new creation. So perfect, so innocent, so fragile. And at first glance, you know, I felt completely in love with my daughter. God created us in His own image. We are God's greatest creation. You know, it says in the Bible that we're created in God's image. The only thing He created in His image was us. And you know, when sin entered the world in the Garden of Eden, we were separated from God. But that doesn't mean that God ever stopped loving us. He continued to love us, continued to pursue us. By sending His Son to die in our place, we have the chance to be forgiven, the chance to be made innocent again, like that newborn baby. That's how we're a new creation in Christ. We accept that a relationship with Jesus is the only way to eternal life with God. And when we accept Jesus, we experience freedom. We still go through struggles. We still sin. Stuff happens in this world. You know, we live in a fallen world. But the thing is we're doing it with Jesus. Jesus has our back. Jesus takes all our brokenness and He buries it. When Jesus was buried in that tomb, He buried all our sins with Him. Jesus takes our sin upon Himself and offers forgiveness. The sin of our past, the sin of everybody here, even all the sin to come in the future, can be forgiven because of Jesus. Jesus is the only way to forgiveness. Jesus was the only sacrifice that was worthy enough. Once we accept Jesus into our hearts, God looks down on us and he only sees his Son. Through our new lives, we can experience the freedom that God plans for us to live in. Jesus offers us healing. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Jesus went through terrible pain and suffering as he's being killed. He was whipped. He wore a crown of thorns. He had the spear jammed right up into his side. All these wounds. And because the fact that Jesus went through this, and then he was resurrected, it gives us a new power. And it's not a power that we use here on this earth. It is a power that we have access to in the spiritual realm. We have the power through Jesus to heal and to be healed. You know, we're praying this morning and we're talking about being healed and healing the name of Jesus. And it's so true. In the Bible, we can heal. We can be healed in the physical, in our emotional state, in our mental state, in our spiritual lives. We can be healed. The disciples, they healed in Jesus' name after he ascended into heaven. Acts chapter 3 tells a story about a man who was lame since birth. And Peter and John heal him at the temple gate. Later in Acts chapter 4, the leaders and the priests ask Peter, you know, by which authority are you healing? Like, who do you do this by? And we find the answer in chapter 4, verse 10. Then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. What name? Jesus. Whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. When we heal people and call upon the name of Jesus has the power to heal. Now, I think the name of Jesus has such a better power to heal because Jesus himself was resurrected, and there was power exerted through the resurrection. And even here, Peter makes a point of saying it was God raised from the dead. God raised Jesus from the dead. And I healed him in the name of Jesus. There's an extra amount of power that comes with the name of Jesus in the spiritual realm. It's real. It's tangible. You can feel it. No, when we speak out the name Jesus, it stirs up something inside us. Even if you're an unbeliever, that name Jesus, it cuts you to the core, deep into your heart. There's a reason for that. That's real power in Jesus. When Jesus died, he took all their sins, he went down into hell, and he took that sin, started firing it back at Satan. And he stole the keys of hell. He took the keys of death with him. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, it says, I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever. And hold the keys of death and Hades. Wow. You guys are so quiet today. Jesus overcame the grave. And this guy died, and then he came back to life. That's a big deal. And through that act, he exerted great power. Power that was felt all around. The power to overcome death. And through that same power, we can have healing. Through that power, we can have freedom. It's such a great power. Paul speaks about this power to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. In his incomparably great power for us who believe, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but in the one to come. So this power that Jesus displayed when he died and he took those keys of death was displayed in hell. And he was resurrected and walked on earth, and that power was displayed on earth. And finally, he ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of God, and fulfilled that power. From hell to earth to heaven, Jesus was there, every single place, showing his power. And this is the same power that we have as a church. That is an incredible amount of power. It said that was the greatest amount of power ever seen in human history. The greatest amount of power that's ever going to be seen in the future. More powerful than any king or queen. More powerful than any celebrity. More powerful than the greatest businessmen, like Bill Gates, you know, Steve Jobs. Any of those guys you think of, Zuckerberg. No, Jesus is more powerful. Amen. And anyone that comes our way, any prime minister, any president, no, Jesus is more powerful. We worry so much about the things of this earth and the things that are happening around us in today's society, but we have Jesus. We have Jesus inside us, so we don't need to worry. We don't need to be bogged down by the things of this world because we can call upon the name of Jesus and there is power. It's the power to heal broken bodies and broken spirits. You know, if we have an injury or we have something we're going through, you know, I heard a testimony this morning about, I think Greg, his knees were hurting, and someone prayed for him, and he was healed, just like that. In the name of Jesus, he was healed. And we have the power through Jesus' name to heal broken relationships, broken marriages that are falling apart. You know, over 50% divorce rate today in our culture. But in the name of Jesus, those marriages can be healed. Relationships between parents and children can be mended and healed in the name of Jesus. Maybe you feel separated from your kids. I don't know why. Maybe you've gone through troubles. But if you want some sort of healing, speak the name of Jesus. It has the power to overcome addictions. You know, somehow addictions can root so deep inside us. They hold us. They grip us, and we feel sometimes that the more we fail and the more they get the better of us, that we should just give up. I'm trying so hard, and I can't make it through. Start speaking the name of Jesus over those addictions. You're going to feel that power. You're going to have that resolution. You make that decision once and for all that you're not going to do it anymore, and he'll be with you. The name of Jesus has the power to heal emotional wounds that cut so deep. So much of us have past in our childhoods, and we have these memories of things that have happened to us. You know, we didn't always have the easiest time. Maybe some tragic experiences happened to us. And we carry these around with us, you know, as wounds. And we accept Jesus, and sometimes we can still carry it into our Christian walks. Well, I encourage you to start praying the name of Jesus over those emotional wounds, and you will experience healing. And also it has the power to lift spirits. Overcome depression, fear, anxiety, other mental illnesses. I feel like today's society, especially, like my kids go to school and they're coding all these kids already. You know, you have this illness, this mental illness, you're a slow learner, you're affected with this. And it's almost like our answer is to just either send them therapy or medicate them. And I feel like in the spiritual world, we can be possessed by demons. We can be so overwhelmed by darkness. But the name of Jesus is light in that darkness. If we're speaking that light and asking for healing, the point is, guys, that Jesus has the power to heal anything. Jesus died. God rose him again. He exerted this extreme amount of power, talks about it over and over in the Word of God, and we can tap into it. And it's simple. You just say, Jesus. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in us. To borrow a quote from a song. But that power is amazing. The brokenness that was meant to destroy you was overcome at the cross. And I'm incredibly thankful for that. Thank you, Father. Amen.